The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Let's all take a deep breath together. It's all okay. All in together. In and out. Look at the calendar. It is July 12th. The All-Star break is 3 days away. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, they already look like they're in the All-Star break, huh? Look. This is some of the hardest week to play. Doesn't make an excuse. The Brewers fall today 5-2 to the Nationals. The last 10 days have not been their best baseball. Not even close. Not even close. The Brewers know that. You know that. I know that. But they don't give out trophies. They don't give you awards for how good or how bad you play in July. The Brewers are in a rut, and this is like their first real rut since like the end of April, early May, right when they had that tough series against the Yankees. They lose the series to the Royals. They had a series loss to the Padres before all that. I mean, like, this is the first real, like, rut since that. And most teams go through ruts. I mean, look, the Orioles are in a rut. The Yankees are in a rut. This happens to teams. The Phillies lost to the A's today after sweeping the Dodgers, right? It's just like, this is a normal thing that happens in baseball, and that's okay. And I love the passion. I love that folks are frustrated because they feel fear. Oh my God, collapse. Oh no, I don't want this to happen, because they've been pleasantly surprised. I think everybody's been pleasantly surprised, and I think everyone's afraid of the rug being pulled out from underneath them right now. There's no reason to overreact and freak out. And I just went back the last 3 years, okay? 2021, Brewers won the division that year. Remember, they were white hot. They had won 12 games in a row. They had won 14 of 15. And then they had lost 6 of their last 8 games leading into the break. Well, they still went into the break up by 4 games in the division. Obviously, they won the division handedly in 2021. 2022, they obviously did not win the division, but they were still up. They were up a half game, and even then, they had that tough road trip where they split with the Twins and then lost 3 out of 4 to the Giants with the walk-off home run to Hader, and he had a tough go of things those few days in San Francisco. The Brewers were going well, and then we all know what happened in 2022. 2023, last year, the Brewers were in second place heading into the break. They were not in first. They had a meh early start to July. They had won 6 of 9 games, which is good. But they had split a series against the Cubs, and people were freaking out. Then they got hot coming out of the break. Then they got cold again at the very end of July, and then they got hot again. This is all cyclical. It all comes back and flows. I mean, the Brewers got swept by the Dodgers last year in August in L.A. They were only up 2 games at that point. In fact, it got all the way down to 1.5 in the first week of September, and they still won the division. There is so much baseball left. So save your energy. It is okay to lose a handful of games leading into the break. Again, it does not excuse what we talked about tonight, and we are going to talk about it, I promise. But I feel there's a little bit of overreaction right now. No matter what somebody tells you, winning or losing this series does not make or break the season. It just doesn't. There's 162 of them. We all say they all matter, but sometimes at the end of the day, some wins don't carry as much weight as other ones, and some losses don't hurt as bad as other ones. This one stinks, for sure, after having the shutout loss and the near no-no against Paul Skeens yesterday, having back-to-back games where you completely fell out of your approach, striking out a ton, a million ground balls, not a lot of hard contacts, getting out of your rhythm, not having a great game. So you look at it, you can go one of two paths. You got 2 games left here at the break. Dig deep, win a series, make it a 500 homestand heading into the break. Can win these next 2 games. Or do you fold and say, at least it's the All-Star break coming. I don't think the latter is going to happen for this team. There are too many leaders in that clubhouse. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Craig Kishon's going to join us in just a little bit. He's still over on television with our friends at Bally Sports Wisconsin. But let's actually talk about the game. What went wrong? What's going on with Freddie? Again, I feel like we've been talking about this a lot. So we're going just past 11 o'clock tonight right here in your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers fall to the Nationals by a 5-2 final score. Game one of a three-game series. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. You can tweet at Dom_Cotroneo. You can text in 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Doug texting in, looks like the All-Star break coming at a good time. Brewers a little lethargic right now. Hopefully a recharge will help. This one from Justin in Sun Prairie. Justin, if you're not happy about, you know, the opinions and the arguments that are happening in my Twitter mentions, you're welcome to join in, man. But Justin, like, I'm sorry if I've come off that way with what you texted to me. I'm sorry. I'll just straight out say that. You're welcome to call in, text in. Let's talk about it. But let's go ahead and talk about the play that's got a lot of people riled up. Should Garrett Mitchell have dove for that ball in shallow center field? It's kind of like that discourse we had with Jackson Churio earlier in the year in Miami, a ball that he absolutely, folks would say, he should have dove for. Catch probability said 0%, but for the optics to say, at least dive for it. If you don't catch it, you don't catch it. I get that. It's a tough juxtaposition for Garrett to not dive for that ball, or at least make an effort. I don't like this discourse. I really don't. Because it's not the reason the Brewers lost the game. And I don't like wasting energy on things that are very minor in the grand scheme of the game. The reason the Brewers lost this game is they had four hits. Not because Garrett Mitchell did or didn't dive for a ball in center field. Don't spin it to yourself any other way. That's not the reason they lost this game. The reason they lost this game is because Freddie Peralta, again, 90-plus pitches in five innings. Right? Those are reasons to actually get frustrated about. It is a tough look, though, when Jacob Young on the other side makes an incredible 10% probability catch in right center field to rob Willy Adames of extra bases in the second inning, and then Garrett doesn't lay out. I'll give Garrett, you know, a quick little reprieve to say, look, this dude's coming off of a labrum. Diving forward was something he was not allowed to do last year. It's a hurdle. It's a mental block. And then some folks say, well, maybe he shouldn't even be out there. Well, he didn't play yesterday. He had Perkins in there. And then folks are saying, oh, Perkins would have definitely caught that ball. No, I'm not saying for certain. That was an extremely difficult play. It's okay to say, didn't get to that ball. It's okay to say that. You know how you don't even get in that situation? Is you don't walk the nine-hitter. Hobie Milner walked the nine-hitter to lead off that inning. Right? There are a lot of failures that have happened in this game. And then people like to point to one play. Oh, that's the reason. No. That is not the reason. So what I see from this one is the lack of adjustments. I saw Freddie and Bill Schroeder over on Bally Sports Wisconsin made a great observation on this, saying they were all over his changeup and slider early. They started this game, you know, with nine hits early. Seven of them came on Freddie's slider or changeup. It was not the normal slider bite. It did not have his normal zip to it. Granted, his fastball was sitting like 95, 96 today. We were seeing a lot more velo out of Freddie than usual earlier in the game. And that's a good thing and a bad thing sometimes, where it's like, all right, well, if the fastball's better, is the slider going to break the same way that it normally does? That, to me, the lack of making an adjustment quickly enough, all the two-strike hits, they were sitting and playing for the changeup and the off-speed. And then you look at it, he comes back out in the fourth inning and says, all right, all gas. Let's go. Let's get to work. Or in the fifth inning, I should say. Let's get to work. Fastballs, fastballs, fastballs. Strikes out Jame Wood on three consecutive fastballs. Six straight fastballs to Lane Thomas. Okay, great. He finally throws one curveball in the at-bat to, or a slider, or a changeup, I beg your pardon, changeup to Jesse Winker on a 2-0 pitch. He falls behind 3-1, goes back to the fastball, heater down the middle. Poor location for a 3-1 pitch, home run. Jesse enjoyed watching it. That's fine. But the time it took for him to get off the slider and to recognize, okay, they're hitting this, they're going for this pitch, was part of the reason why that felt like that fourth inning wouldn't end. And especially given he started that inning with a three-pitch strikeout on fastballs to Jesse Winker. Then it was a double, then it was a single, then it was a single, then it was and then you blink and it's just like, what? They're all hitting my sliders. They're all hitting my changeup. So that adjustment was one where it's just like, would like to have seen that sooner, knowing the nickname is Fastball Freddy. That was my biggest takeaway from what Freddy did today. And still, nonetheless, with clearly a team that was ready to attack on that pitch, the Brewers did not give themselves opportunities offensively, right? It gets more frustrating when it feels like you're down from the jump. I mean, yes, they were down 1-0, but when you scored 2 runs in the fourth and it was a 1-run game, you're like, okay, sweet, 3-2 game, they're in this, let's see Freddie get back on track. And then to give up a 2-out solo shot to avoid the shutdown inning is just deflating. It's just, you're right there. And then the Brewers, otherwise, aside from that fourth inning, they really had no base runners today. They had no sustained offense. Frelick goes 3-for-4. Adames has the RBI double. Nobody else had a hit. They struck out 13 times tonight, only 4 walks. This isn't the Brewers that we've come accustomed to. It's just not how they generally win games, when they're not drawing walks. And then when you're behind early, you're not able to steal bases. You're not able to take risks on the base paths because all of a sudden base runners are at a premium. So they get out of their game. They're going to get out of what they're able to do. So all of these things factor into a series opening loss. Those are my takes. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. If you want to join in here on the program, Craig's going to join us in just a moment. Want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Craig joins us after this on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings.
Goods.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Dom Catronio. Brewers fall 5-2 to the Nationals tonight. It's a lull, it's a rut, it's whatever you want to call it. They are in the pre-All-Star break blues. Craig Kishon is joining us now here on the program. We've seen this a handful of times over the years, Craig, and look, I'm fine with being in a little rut, still being in first place and looking down at the rest of the Central than if you're playing tight and there are issues and there's not things to look forward to. Every single team ever has gone through a lull like this. Whether it's near the All-Star break or not is regardless. I'm just trying to say, look, there is so much baseball left to come. Even if they get swept over these next two games, it does not matter for their rest of season outlook because it is still very bright. They can hit the reset button over these next 5 days. Quite frankly, Craig, if you're going to hit a lull, I would hit a lull right now when you get the chance to reset.
Well, yeah, and they will get the chance to reset. And I think right now there's no one who needs a reset more than Freddie Peralta. And I'm not saying he's pitching badly. We all know it's not Freddie here lately, that's for sure. But the thing about it is he's made 19 starts already here in the quote-unquote first half of the season. So he's done his part by showing up every single time that he needs to take the ball, which is great. And you know, Freddie's career is not been a perfect climb. It's been a steady, good climb. And I think he's got a chance to have a really nice second half here, but he just needs a break like a lot of other guys. This is why they have the All-Star break for everybody here right now. That's why they've extended it a little bit so the Brewers will get 5 full days off coming up next week. So, yeah, I mean, every team's going to go through some tough times, and they're going to have, it, you know, hopefully only one poor month, and I mean poor by, you know, maybe they're not out there winning, you know, every three or four games out of a series. They're going to have some lows, and I just think right now they're just in a lull here right now.
And it's not like you can, you know, snap your fingers and say, all right, they're out of the lull, and it's not even a guarantee when they come out of the All-Star break that they're out of the lull. It's like, this is a real thing. Every team has a stretch where they're like, oh, okay, I got to fight through this. And one guy, you mentioned Freddie. I see another guy, Reese. He is white knuckle. He is struggling right now. He is wearing it. I was watching him today during the pregame work. They were doing PFPs, pitcher fielding practice. They were doing bunt practice. They were talking coverages. And he was a spearhead of all of this and was, you know, chipper and talking to everybody. He was talking to Kevin Franzen of the Nationals broadcast crew, a couple of Bay Area guys there. And then you sit down and you're like, man, Reese is ice cold right now. And, you know, he's come back since the hamstring injury, and he had a good little stretch there in the middle of June. But since July turned, he's just 4 for his last 34 with 13 strikeouts. You're not going to win many games with Reese struggling the way he is. And get this, of those four hits, three of them are homers. So we just want to see Reese just get some offense together.
Yeah, it can't be just production, you know, once a week. That's for sure. You're absolutely right about that. And he hasn't had a big hot streak yet. And is he capable of having one? Absolutely. All really good players are, and he's a really good player. So, yeah, hit the reset button with him and, you know, hope that he has a big run in the second half for Milwaukee. Because, like I said, he's more than capable of it. He's putting up some power numbers here right now. They're just not as frequent as he is used to producing those here. And, you know, look, you go back to missed a whole season with that knee injury. And I still, you know, look, we didn't cover Hoskins on a daily basis, but you just get the feeling that he can be healthier and he's trying to stay healthy and finish this season up strong here right now. So, you know, this team has a I think Murph brought it up as well tonight that they're you know, going through getting some guys in and out of the lineup, getting them back healthy off the injured list, how they're working their bullpen here right now. There's going to be some new additions coming there soon. So there has been some change. There has been some adjustments recently, and there's going to be more change, which requires more adjustments along the way before this team is probably going to hit that point where we can all say, and they can say, we're gelling here right now. We're ready to make this big run and try to finish this thing off, because they're really close to having the second best record in the National League. Can you imagine getting that and getting a bye in the first round in the playoffs? I mean, this team is capable of doing that.
It really is. And then it becomes the question of, well, how can you help this team? Can you supplement something? Can you go get something else? Is it a left-handed power bat? Is it another starting pitcher? Because let's be honest, you talk about Freddy Peralta there too. Freddy, I know he was the opening day starter, but this is the second time he's allowed double-digit hits in a game. And he's going to get another start coming up out of the All-Star break, and he'll be the first guy out on Saturday against the Twins, and they've been playing better baseball as of late. I guess the thought is, if you can get some more help for Freddie, and I know they got Aaron Civale, but if you can get him back into his, hey, don't need to shoulder the whole load here sort of role, I think that could help him get back to within himself. Because to my eyes, Freddie right now, Murph has talked about this, where he's trying to make a perfect pitch, and his stuff's good enough to not be a perfect pitch. The one way you can tell, he didn't get a single swing and miss on a slider today. And that's either A, game plan, or B, effectiveness. And I think it's a mix of the two for Freddie, because if you can help him get back on track to be the Freddie that we know he is capable of being, this team will certainly help. That would certainly help calm the waters for folks saying, like, oh, what do you do when you make the postseason?
Well, and, you know, I think that the point you bring up, too, with Freddie, you know, unfortunately, this storyline, it goes and goes and goes with him, and that is trying to be perfect. And this is where when you're not, and you're not capable of being extraordinarily consistent, if you know what I'm saying on that. Mm-hmm. And he's had issues doing that throughout his career. That's okay. That's okay. Like I said earlier, he's still making every start. He's still giving you what starters are supposed to do. And really, for the most part, he is still very much, even when damage is done, for the most part, keeps you in games. He only gave up 4 runs in 5 innings today. The Brewers were in this game from beginning to end before it was over. So in a way, he just continues to do his job that way. Can he be better? Absolutely. He knows that. But it's really, to me, it's going to be up to him to decide that and somehow take some pressure off of himself if he's putting it on. And I am all in favor, Dom, of adding starting pitching for this staff. I still think that Civale and Keuchel are you know, I don't mean this in a bad way, but they're still somewhat of experiments for this club. They're not going to have a long leash if they get into the get into a failure mode or get into a rut. I hope that doesn't happen. But I mean, they were brought aboard to see what they can do for this team. And, you know, you brought two pitchers aboard. So far, it's been pretty good. We'll just see where this goes from here.
Yeah, I agree with all that entirely. Another guy that's squeezing a little too hard right now is William Contreras. This text from Jeff in Elkhorn. Contreras played 91 games. Looks like he needs a break. You're right. I mean, he's only had 4 days off all year. The mental focus at the plate is not very sharp right now, swinging at a lot of bad pitches. I thought the way I knew, and this is how we'll wrap this segment, Craig, the way I knew that William's not feeling himself wasn't so much yesterday against a righty specialist and Colin Holderman. A lot of folks want to talk to that at bat with the bases loaded. But today, in a 2-0 count, again, with a guy whose best pitch is his slider, swings and misses at a 2-0 slider in a big moment. That's when I knew, okay, William's counting down too. He's got the All-Star game on his mind. Not that that's, you know, a bad thing or it's like, oh my gosh, how dare you. It's like he's human too, and he is going through a human stretch over this last month plus. It's like, man, when you need power production out of a guy like William, it really stings when you're not getting it. And like we talked about with Reese as well.
Yeah. And, you know, I think in William's case, too, you mentioned the four, he's only missed four games. Should he have missed more? Maybe. He was sure playing well, man. You know, out of the gates, first, you know, 6 weeks to 2 months. I mean, crazy good. Why give a guy off if he doesn't want to be off and he's, you know, and he's healthy? And then he reached the point where he wasn't all the way healthy, but he was still playing and trying to play through injuries, which is pretty tough for the catching position to do here. But unfortunately for William, he's not going to catch a break because he's going to be starting in the All-Star game on Tuesday. I would imagine, wouldn't you think that he'd get Saturday or Sunday off ahead of that this weekend and you know, just kind of clear his head there and see what happens, you know, over the weekend for him anyway. I think if anybody deserves one before he leaves, it would certainly be William Contreras.
I would imagine he plays tomorrow, given it's a lefty on the mound. Or maybe you give him tomorrow off and just have Haas start, and maybe you put Hoskins, leave him in at first, and then you have to figure out what you're going to do with the righty DH, giving up Bowers. So that's why I say I bet he starts tomorrow and then gets the day off on Sunday, if they so choose, and that sort of thing. There are a couple positives to talk about, and I also want to react to some of the quotes from Pat Murphy tonight as well. We'll play Pat Murphy a little bit later on in the program, but I know you've heard it, and it's getting out here with the local writing press as well. Brewers fall 5-2, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. That's the phone number right here in your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Dom Catronio, Craig Kishon here. Freddie Peralta spoke to the media. Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel retweeted that over on my Twitter at Dom_Catronio. The big quote coming out of Freddie just now here, Craig, is that, I know I can be better, and I need to be better. Look at my second half last year. It was crazy. I know I can do it again. He's healthy, man. He knows he's capable of it, and a hungry, ambitious, ready-to-go Freddie Peralta for the second half. If he can put together even 75-80% of what he did last year, he was arguably a top-five pitcher in baseball in the second half last year. He is not going to be that, but at the same time, it's like, hey, he knows it's in there, and he's a competitor deep down. He has had enough experience in the big leagues to know how to find it again.
Right, and I think, you know, the big thing that he's saying here is I have done this before, and I am going to do it again because I know how to do it now. And I think those are the things that you have to say. Well, Freddie's growing up, and Freddie's growing up. You know, each season, he's learning some things. Sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's mental, sometimes it's a combination of both. And I think in this case, just based off what he did a year ago with that second half, it's now a combination because, sometimes, you know, physically he's been a little bit different here this season, and now he knows what he needs to do. Can he just flip the switch? Probably not, but he has a much better idea now of who he is, and I think that's the real positive thing about it. And I know this is what this organization is hoping for starting after the All-Star break for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And I also wanted to get some thoughts here on this exchange with Pat Murphy, and listeners will hear this coming up after the next segment here from Pat Murphy himself, but this quote again shared by Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Quote from Murph, "I think we're at a stage these last couple of weeks where guys are, no matter how much we talk about it, are looking for the break. I think we're a little disconnected, to be quite honest," end quote. And I know you weren't here a couple of days ago, but on Wednesday night, there was a big team meeting about, you know, Undaunted and everything with that sort of thing. The Brewers and their staff and Pat Murphy has seen this coming on the wall where it's like, hey, they need a little something. They need a little boost. What do they do that night? They win 9-0 on Wednesday night against the Pirates. But now these last two games have been clunkers. And Murph just kind of showing us a peek behind the curtains, like admitting that, yeah, we got some young guys that are looking ahead to the break. And he's partially taking ownership of that and trying to fix it. But it's something that every team goes through, and no team is immune to the 1 week away, oh, I got, you know, I can go see my family, I can go see my hometown, I can go see whatever, to just being like, okay, we're fresh to go for 60 or so, whatever is left for the rest of the season.
Right, and this is part of the growing pains of having a younger team like Milwaukee has. I mean, we know who the veterans are in this team. It's Yelich, it's Adames, it's Hoskins, it's Contreras in a certain way. But I mean, as far as the rest of these guys go, offensively, the position players, all the way through to the bench and the depth of this team is still relatively young. So these are part of the growing pains that they're going to have to go through on this, but this is very common in baseball. This is a really talented team, and they need to learn from some of these things. Are they mistakes to be thinking that way? No, I'm sure it's very natural. This is how baseball goes. It is a grind over 162 games and playing for 7 or 8 months by the time you show up at spring training, by the time the season's over with. So they'll get through this. This is the thing I like most about this team is, and we've talked about it, Dom, in the past, they may be young, but they sure don't play like it, and they sure don't act like it. So I think for me, that's what I like about this whole scenario.
Yeah, and then the tough reality, though, too, is you look at it tonight, right? Tonight's starting lineup for the Brewers, you had Bryce Terang, sophomore year. William Contreras, now becoming a veteran in his fourth full season as a big leaguer. Christian Yelich, need I say more. Willie Adames, need I say more. But then you got Frelick, who's in his sophomore year. You've got Hoskins, pillar, but has been scuffling. Mitchell, in his asterisk, let's call it a redshirt freshman year, given how little he's been playing. You got Joey Ortiz, who's really in a redshirt freshman year. And then you got Churio, who's a, you know, graduate high school early 17-year-old pre-enrollee into classes. Like, this is a young team. They're not immune to this either, and I'm not making an excuse. I'm just telling the truth that, hey, here you go. Welcome to the big leagues, kid. Keep playing. It doesn't get easier.
No, and I think, you know, when you go through and you mention just the starting lineup here today, and then you look on the bench and you have, you know, Bowers, who doesn't have a ton of big league experience. You have Haas, who certainly doesn't. Monasterio, not a ton. And Perkins, not a ton either. I think the one thing that, you know, when we were talking about potentially adding something to the starting rotation to take, you know, a little bit of pressure off Freddie, perhaps, just an example. I'm curious to see where the team will be thinking come trade deadline, how they like their depth from a position standpoint. It's easy for us to say, man, they have all these young outfielders. They certainly don't need an outfielder, so let's just scratch that off the list. If there's somebody out there that's been around, who's been successful, that's worth a grab, I think the one thing that I would like to see is a veteran bat added to this club. I think They're a little bit in dire straits when it comes to, you know, pinch hitting and depth and that type of thing from someone who's been around and done it. I think to ask that out of, you know, a first year guy, come up with a big hit off the bench in the eighth inning or ninth inning, that's a lot for guys that haven't experienced that before. So I'll be curious to see kind of where that goes.
Yeah, I think all of that valid. Teams learning. There's still youth on the way, too. By the way, Diego Mazurowski had 10 more strikeouts tonight. I'm starting to peek at his box scores a little more frequently during the games, if you know what I mean. See what's going to happen with him. He's on watch. Another positive tonight, I mean, Sal Frelick, I talked about him a lot on Wednesday's show with Augie here, but let me just read you Sal. Since the start of the Detroit series, June 7th, it's now 29 games. He's hitting .319. With a .373 on base percentage, just 11 strikeouts and 8 walks over that time. He is putting the ball in play. He's got 30 hits over that time. He is not here to hit homers. That is not his job. His job is to get on base and be a nuisance. And he's 4-for-4 in steals in that time, too. For him restarting the lineup there in the 5 spot, very, very helpful to see him get things going here in the middle third of the season.
Yeah, it's almost just knowing what Sal Frelick's capable of doing and why they drafted him and what his makeup is, just getting this really consistent run that you're talking about here right now. If this is him getting off the plateau and taking that next big step to evolving into a really successful major leaguer, you know, this would be huge. And it wouldn't surprise me if this is his true next step, because I think we've been kind of waiting to see it. He's been relatively quiet in all the respects that you're talking about. But I think this run that he's been on is why they drafted him high and what they thought they would get, you know, with some experience in the majors. And you know, hopefully this is the sign we're seeing there.
This is something that the Brewers have been always saying, like, yeah, it's coming. Don't worry, it's coming. And I believe that sort of thing is coming for Garrett Mitchell, too. I know he's been off to a slow start, but I know he went 0-for today. And all the discourse about should he have dove, should he have not. Even if he dove and he didn't make the catch, it doesn't change the score. And the Brewers only having 4 hits today. But let me remind you, back in his debut year, 2022, when he first came back in his first 13 games, he was hitting just .138 over his first 13 games. He started off his big league career 4-for-29. Well, then he finished it when the Brewers were furiously trying to hang on in the race, 15-for-32, .469. He is capable of getting white hot very quickly. It is way too early to start talking about benching Garrett Mitchell or anything like that. He needs at-bats. He needs time. And if you want to say put him in AAA, there are rules of how many days you can spend in AAA. He had maxed that out. So I am still a very, very, very big believer in Garrett Mitchell and all of the talent that he possesses.
Well, and you got to give these guys opportunities. You just do. And at some point, I mean, we saw with Jackson Churio, they came in larger bunches, and then, you know, maybe when he started cooling off a little bit, they gave him a couple of games off, maybe 3-4 straight games off, that type of thing. I think the Brewers have done a really nice job of truly game planning for growth and maturity for this young group. And, you know, Garrett Mitchell just doesn't have a ton of major league experience, but he is more than ready to have all those opportunities so he can get that experience and, more importantly, get the success that he needs, you know, to get better. And he'll get there. I mean, he's got all the tools. And yes, it can be frustrating, you know, when guys, you know, that are young go 0-for-4 on a consistent basis and may not contribute a ton, but He needs to just experience all this stuff and get the reps in, man. That's what it's all about. We say it a million times, and it could not be truer. He needs to have these opportunities to get his reps.
Yep, amen to all that. We'll talk to you all weekend long, Craig. Appreciate your insight, as always. And get home, rest quick, day game tomorrow.
All right, pal. See you then.
All right, Craig Keshawn here on WTMJ. We'll hear from Pat Murphy up next. Brewers fall to the Nats 5-2 on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Dom Catronio here. This text just rolled in. If we can keep starting pitching on track, it can take a lot of pressure off some players and things can fall into place a lot easier. That one from the 414. I agree entirely. You know, this feels like, remember in the middle of the year last year when the bullpen was really struggling and people were like, what's going on with the bullpen? It's like, well, every game they were asked to come in and it was like a 2-1 game or a 3-2 game or whatever it was. So it's like, hey, when you're only scoring 2 runs tonight, 0 runs yesterday, 2 runs on Tuesday, I know they had the great offense on Sunday. They didn't do a ton in L.A. either. It's like, hey, offense makes everything a lot easier, and it's not that easy, obviously, to score runs. So all of that falls into place. Good observation there as well. Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical right now for a limited time. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical is offering $10 off on an AC tune-up or $10 off an HVAC, plumbing, or electrical service call. At Sider, at your at-home comfort is top priority. Visit Sider.com today. That's Sider.com. Murph spoke to the media a little bit earlier after tonight's loss, 5-2. Here's what he had to say.
Overall, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think Freddie made a few mistakes, but I thought generally he threw the ball good. I really did. They did hit some, they had some soft contact, but give them some credit. You know, they kept balls in play. They didn't punch out a lot. You know, they just lost 5 in a row. So they're kind of hungry to win and they put some balls in play and, and their starter did a nice job to keep us at bay. So credit to them. That's the truth. Can't start matching records and say, well, you should have done this, should have done that. They put some balls in play, timely hits. They've done it all year of kind of being a pretty good team for contact. But I thought there was a lot of good in Freddie's outing.
The breaking stuff and the off-speed stuff has been really big for him this year. But tonight they had 7 hits on secondary pitches, 5 on the slider. Is there anything that you kind of make of that? Or
yeah, I mean, how many of those were hard hit? You know, that's what you have to say is – I thought his breaking ball was good at times, but again, they reach down, put a barrel on it, and it just gets past the infielders. You know, that's a pretty good pitch, you know, and that happened. You said it got hit 7 times? How many?
It's on the slider.
Okay, but how many of those 7? Seriously, let's think about it. I don't know the answer, but I'm not more than 2 were hit that hard, right? Ruiz hit one decent to right field. Was that a slider or change?
It was
slider. That was one. What other one was hit hard? So my point is, you can't do anything about that, you know. But credit them for putting the bat on the ball. It wasn't a wipeout slider for sure. But Freddie wasn't the issue tonight. That's for sure.
What made their starter so effective against your bats?
He was in and out. He had a good 2-seamer and then threw it away. We were real disciplined at the at-bats. Let's call it like it is. You know, you can't win games with 4 and 5 hits a game. You can't win a lot of games that way, you know, with the way we have to play. So you got to put it in play more. You have to respond to an umpire call that you didn't like or whatever else. You have to do that. You think of a couple at bats that were just like young people at bats, you know? That's what I felt like. Then you look at it at bat like Yelly's at bat left on left against Garcia. That's not only a pro at bat, that's a championship level at bat. Yelly's at bat versus Garcia should be showed to every minor league player and put him in the setting and run the tape. You know what I mean? Don't just show pitch to pitch. Run the whole tape. That is an at bat. But it takes a bunch of those to win every night.
I feel like that was kind of the opportunity there. Yelly gets on, bases loaded, Willie comes up.
Yeah, you create those opportunities. That was a great one, you know, but you create those opportunities. You know?
Murph, you guys have been one of the better teams at not striking out a lot over the first half, but that scheme was obviously really good yesterday, but today was 13 more. Do you think it's just guys kind of expanding or trying to do too much when they're not?
I think we're at a stage these last couple of weeks where guys are, you know, no matter how much we talk about it, guys are like looking for the break, and I think we're a little disconnected, to be quite honest. And there's been some guys coming back from injuries, some new guys playing. It seems like things have kind of went against us, but this is the lull in the action that happens in any season, and you can't flinch. But you also can't say we're not going to do anything. You got to be realistic. But other teams came in and played with a little freedom. We aren't playing with any freedom at all. You know.
Another three-hit day for Sal today. That double was hit really hard in the last 3 weeks or so. The offensive production has been really, really good. What have you seen from him during this stretch?
Yeah, he's a winning player. He's a winning player defensively, offensively. He's got to get a tad better as a base runner. But he's a winning player offensively and defensively.
Really, really, really fun to watch. Sal Frelick, that's possible. And you heard there toward the end about that quote about a little disconnected, looking forward to the break. So every team goes through it. They're a little human, and that's very normal. There's 162 of them for a reason. We're not going to freak out over a 10-game stretch here. Just not going to do it. Not going to freak out. There were a couple of bright spots. You can call them highlights if you wish. Brewers fall 5-2 to the Nats. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Change action.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Let's talk about a few bright spots today. Brewers did get this to a one-run game when they were down 3-0 with Freddie struggling. The middle of this order, Willie and Frelick really specifically, they were the only ones who got hits today. Frelick having three of them. Big spot in the fourth inning, trying to create something after generally how it works, a leadoff walk to William Contreras, being relentless, handing it to the next guy. Two batters later, it was Willie.
Pitch to Willie, fly ball, center field, back Young, a warning track, it's off the top of the wall, stays in play. Contreras will score. Adames stops at second base. The Brewers are on the board. It's 3-1.
And then the very next batter, Sal Frelick.
Line drive, right field line, base hit. Going to be a 3-2 game. Frelick around first. He's into second base with an RBI double. Trades places with Adames. It's 3-2.
You know, we've talked a lot about Sal on today's show, and rightfully so. Another guy that is going to be a big piece here came back to the lineup today, Joey Ortiz. Quiet offensively today. You heard Murph talk about the strike zone. Joey was a victim of that strike zone in a way, but didn't let that impact his glove.
From the windup, here it is. Swinging a bullet to a short hop pick by Ortiz at first, and he throws him out. Wow. Nicely done.
Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker on the call there. So that was all really, really solid stuff from the Brewers. It was still a 3-2 game. You feel like you're in it. Then Winker goes yard. That made it 4-2. Then you had the stoink on the debate. Should Garrett have dove? That made it 5-2. And then a good text just came in here as a question of, it seems like Bryce Turang has been running less when he's been getting on base lately. Didn't try to steal second today to stay out of the double play. What's going on there? So a couple of things. That's a good question. This is from Chris in Pewaukee, that when you're down by two or three and you've got William and Yelly and Adames due, you can't run yourself into an out. And, you know, some say, well, just get in the scoring position and see what happens, right? But at the same time, it's like, especially when you're down three, a two-run homer, you're suddenly back in this game. Whereas if you get thrown out on the bases with your big boppers up, you're like, oh, jeez, no, what are we doing? You know, sort of thing. So that's part of the reason why he wasn't running. The Brewers have been trailing in a lot of games lately, which is not in generally a good time to run. Still, second in the league in stolen bases. He's been super impressive. I expect him to get going. Another good question about Mookie's replacement in the All-Star game. There's still technically a chance he could be Mookie's replacement. I'm a little shocked that Major League Baseball has waited this long to not only announce his replacement, but Fernando Tatis Jr.'s replacement. Very, very odd. Something's fishy here. I don't know why. And this isn't me like trying to put up a smokescreen or anything. I truly don't know why they haven't done this. It makes things a little odd. I don't know if they want to stay positionally. And I would say, look, if you're going to stay positionally and Mookie was technically a shortstop, and you're going to stay with shortstop, it's got to be Francisco Lindor. It has to be. And then if you're going to stay positionally with Fernando Tatis Jr., it has to be Brandon Nimmo, because both of those guys certainly deserve it positionally. Bryce Durang is still on the top of my list as far as snubs of, like, are you kidding me? That guy needs to get going. But those are a couple of things that I observed from this one as well. And then also this one from Chris, maybe Churio could have caught that ball against the wall instead of playing it off the wall, doing better at coming in on the ball. What about that type of play? He has really struggled at balls over his head. I didn't think he had a chance. I thought he had no chance on that ball. Yepes tagged it 102 miles an hour off the bat. It hit off the base of the wall. I didn't think Churio had a chance. So it's okay. It's an eagle eye observation by you, but no, I don't think he had a chance on that one. We'll always debate if Garrett had a chance, but that's okay. We'll take one quick spin around the out-of-town scoreboard up next and get ready to say goodnight, preview the rest of the weekend before the All-Star break here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, last couple minutes of the program. Good news, bad news. The Cardinals lost. Bad news, it was to the Cubs. Can both teams lose that game, that series? I'm joking. Cubs win. Kyle Hendricks turns back the clock. 7 shutout innings against the Cardinals. He has owned the Cardinals over the years. You think he's owned the Brewers? Oh, no. I'm pulling up his numbers right now on Baseball Reference. This is not even including tonight's performance with 7 shutout against the Cardinals. But in his career against the St. Louis Cardinals, he has made 27 games, 26 starts. He's essentially thrown a full season's worth. So let's go ahead and throw in 179 innings, including tonight. So that would be a qualified season. 179 innings. He's 14-4 with a 2.60 ERA. He's only allowed, let me see here, he's allowed 15 homers in 179 innings. Super impressive. He loves that ballpark. Impressive for him. So the Brewers don't fall in the second place race. Everyone else takes a step forward here in the National League, as the Pirates also won today. So they are 7.5 back now. The Cardinals are still 5 back. The Cubs and the Reds are both 8 back. Both of them were victorious tonight. The Cubs are hot. You know, we talk about, what team, doesn't want to face the All-Star break. Teams that are hot. The Cubs are hot. The Mariners are hot. The Mets are hot. There are examples where you don't want to go to the All-Star break. Was it last year, right, where the Mariners had won something like 13, 14 games in a row heading into the All-Star break? Like, you want to keep going, right? So there are scenarios where you want to keep, get it back on track. Another team that's scuffling, the Padres. They've lost 5 in a row. The Cardinals have been losing a little bit here as of late. They've lost 3 in a row. Over in the American League, you have fireworks between the Orioles and the Yankees. Crazy stuff out there after Heston Kerstad got hit in the head. That was a scary, scary moment out there. But bench is clear. There was a whole bunch of stuff with Judge getting hit on the hand. That's a real rivalry brewing out there in the AL East. By the way, in that game, the Yankees did win 4-1. Anyway, tomorrow, we're on the air at 2 o'clock for a 3:10 first pitch. Tomorrow will be Dallas Keuchel making the start here at home, going up against another young left-hander, Mitchell Parker. And then on Sunday, the finale of the first half, it'll be Jake Irvin against Colin Ray. That game on the air at noon for a 1:10 first pitch. Thanks to our producer, Max Meyerson, staying up with us. I'm Dom Catronio. Back tomorrow. Keep on swinging.